الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على الأشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا أبو القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Brothers and sisters, we are gathered to celebrate the auspicious and joyous occasion of the birth of the 11th Imam, Imam Hassan al-Askari. The 11th radiant light of the Holy Prophet's family, the 11th guide for mankind, and our 11th Imam. Inshallah, I'm going to talk about the life of Imam Hassan Askari and also about the lessons that we can learn from his life. We always talk about the fadail of our imams because there's so much fadail. We could talk about fadail for the next rest of the year and we wouldn't finish talking about all of the fadail of our imams. But it's also important that we remember that these fadail have something for us. There's a lesson in it for us. And we learn how can we implement that character of that imam in our lives. Imam Hassan Askari did not live a very long life like many other people did. He led a very short life. He was born on the 8th of Rabi al Thani. It says on a Friday in Medina. It said that some people say that he was born on the 4th or the 10th, but what's mashhur and what's most likely is that he was born on the 8th. To Imam Hadi, and there's a difference of opinion in who his mother was, her name, whether it was Susan or whether it was Hudaytha. But there's a huge lesson in the fact that his life was short. It did not affect anything that the Imam aimed to do. It did not affect his spreading of knowledge in Islam. It did not affect his standing up for what is haq and what is truth. None of this affected him. Even though for most of us we think, well, I'll live for this amount of time. And then when I get old, I'll do istighfar. Well, this is one of Shaitan's biggest tricks. This is one of his most famous classic ways of deceiving us. We don't know how long we will be on this earth, and life is a blessing. We don't know how much life we will have. And even so, many of the imams knew of their time of death. That didn't change or alter the way that they went about living their life. Well, there's a hadith that talks about opportunity. Al-fursatu tamurru marr al-hasab, marr al-sahab. Fursat or opportunity, it passes like the passing of a cloud. You see a cloud in the sky, it's passing by, it's going, then it's gone. This opportunity is like this. This is what Allah is giving us when He gives us life. He's giving us opportunity. Every moment has opportunity. Every second, opportunity. For us to become closer to Allah, for us to emulate our perfect and saint imams like Imam Hassan al-Askari. Allah, This is why we are celebrating his life. Not just because he lived, but because what he did with his life. We're not just celebrating someone coming into this world. We're celebrating the character of the person who came into this world. And when Allah blessed us all with life, and the question is always, what will we do with this life that Allah has given us? How will we use it? You know, Shahid Mutahhari, one of the great teachers of the Hawza, one of the great minds and thinkers, said something very interesting. He was talking about life. He said, Zindagi yani chi? What is this life we're talking about? What is life? Is being alive, is breathing, my heart's pumping, I'm walking, I'm eating, I'm drinking all the chai, does this mean I'm alive? Oh, I'm alive. No. This is not what is intended by what it means when it says that we are alive. We say Allah is hay. La ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. Does this mean Allah has bones and a heart and he's a physical body? Is this what it means to be alive? This is not the hay and the alive that we are celebrating. And Shahid Mutahhari put it in an interesting perspective when he said that being alive is two things. He says it's tavanoi and binoi. It's ability and it's insight. Now this is very, very, very eloquent choice of words. Because what is ability? Ability is something that translates into action. And what is insight? It translates into knowledge. So we see that it makes sense. All of those times that our imams are telling us about amal al-salih and good deeds and encouraging, as the brother read, all of those hadith which encourage us to do all these good actions. Well, this is why. Because you're not alive if you don't have insight and ability. And if you don't translate into those into knowledge and action. This knowledge and action, this means that we're alive. We're gaining knowledge. We're acting upon that knowledge. And one of the greatest arifs of our time, Ayatollah Behjat Rahmatullah Alayh, he said, in explaining what is irfan, you know, people are always mesmerized by irfan and irfani things and spirituality and these type of things. But he said, what is irfan? He answered this question of what it is, irfan, mysticism, gnosis. What is this? He sums up in one sentence the path of spirituality. He said, acting upon that which you know, this is all of irfan. All of irfan, where people spend 40, 50, all of their life dedicated to becoming near to Allah, understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His essence. And He said, it's acting upon that which you know. It's that insight and the ability. And I translate it into action and knowledge. So I learned. I know that Salat on time, according to the Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, I know that when he was asked, what's the best action that we can do? The Imam told the man three things. And the first was to pray on time. We know that in the will of Imam Ali, he tells his sons to do things on time, in the best time. So this insight, it becomes knowledge for me now. So now I have the ability to do this. When it translates into action, then not only is that irfan, but that's when I am alive. It says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, istajibu lillah walirrasool, idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. Allah says in the Quran, O people who believe, inshallah, that's all of us. He says, answer the call to Allah and to His Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life. What was the Prophet inviting people to? That's Islam. This is what gives us life. And what do we see in our imams? We see the manifestation of Islam. Salawat. The hadith we have from our imams, they're not just things that they told other people to do. These were things which they were part of their living being existence. Imam Hassan Askari didn't tell other people where to sit in the majalis. This was where he sat in the majalis. He didn't tell other people about how to conduct themselves. He was that. And this is the lesson that we are learning, inshallah, from our imams. He had many titles, Imam Hassan. An-Naqi, As-Samit, As-Zaki, and of course, Al-Askari. Why did they call him Al-Askari? It's because of the area and the neighborhood which he was ordered by the Abbasid government to be held at, or to be, they wanted to control him. Enemies of Islam always want to have control over those people who can change and spread the true word of Islam. So they kept him in this neighborhood. Askar literally means the army or the garrison. This is what the area was. It was a military area. And because he was living there, he became known as Imam Hassan al-Askari. And of course, he was a soldier of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one louder salawat. There's a hadith from Rasulullah about Imam Hassan al-Askari. And he says that Allah has placed in him, meaning in Imam Hassan al-Askari, He has placed him as his light, as his nur throughout the cities, throughout the town. And as his khalifa, his caliph, throughout all of the lands. You know, we know that our imams not only have this role of being a leader to the community or to the ummah, or to all of mankind. They are the heirs of wilaya as well. But there are roles in leadership which are for all of mankind. What does Allah say about those people? If they don't do their job, Allah can create a new people to do it. This is the challenge for the people who claim to be believers. For all of us, inshallah. About the caliph, Allah says that Bani Adam, mankind, this is Allah's Khalifatullah fil Ardh. Allah's vicegerent on earth, His caliph on earth. This is the role of man. This is our job. Just like the imam, as it states in this hadith, was a caliph for all of the mankind, we are each leaders. We each have to be in that forefront as mu'mineen, taking on that role of leadership the same way that our imams did. You know, there's a very beautiful hadith about Imam Jawad alayhi salam when he's a small child. When he's a small child, there's a similar one about Imam Hassan Askari as well. The one about Imam Jawad, just briefly, it's their children are all playing. Imam Jawad is a young child, and he's playing. And here comes the Ma'mun and a group of people with him. The tyrant of the time approaches these group of children. And so all of the children run away. All of them run away except Imam Jawad. So then he's curious and he comes by and went up to him and asks him, "Why aren't you running away? Why are you still here?" Imam Jawad says, "Two reasons. I'm here for two reasons I'm still here. Reason number one, well, this road is so big that I can be here and you can keep walking by. Reason number two, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't have any reason to run." From very young ages, and looking at the life of Imam Hassan Askari, he was a young person his whole life. From very young ages, they showed their character and their leadership. And this is a lesson for us to be leaders always, not at some point in time, I'll become a leader, inshallah, I'll do some good things. This is leadership starts from a very young age. Imam Mahdi, ajjalallahu farajahu sharif. When he's 5 years old, he's the Imam. He's a leader for humanity. This is a lesson for everyone, especially the young people. You are the leaders in the futures and inshallah the soldiers of the Imam. And Allah, the Prophet goes on in this hadith and he says that in addition to the fact that he's the Nur and Imam Hassan Askari is the Caliph, he says he made him a source of honor, of izzat for his Ummah. And a guide for the Shia. So when we hear the names of our Imams and the Prophet, this is why we say these salawats. This is why it creates a sense of honor for us. We're proud to be those people who are Shia. We're proud to be followers of the Ahlul Bayt. This is what they stood for, because they stood for justice, they stood for haq, they stood for truth. Imam Hassan Askari was Imam for 6 years. He became Imam when he was 22 years old. And stood for haq and justice for the whole time. He was in prison so much of his life. And when he wasn't in prison, he was in house arrest. Did this ever make him stop standing up for what's true? If I can't publicly be on the minbar, he had classes in his home. He never stopped spreading the word of Allah. This gives me honor. I want to be like that. This is a role model for mankind. He says he's a guide for the Shia. You know, in the hadith that talks about Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And that he's Misbahul Huda and Safinatul Najah. He's the guiding light and the vessel of salvation. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he explained this. He said, all of the Imams are Misbahul Huda and Safinatul Najah. Each and every single Imam is. What's mentioned about Imam Hussein is he has a special place, of course. He said it's that Imam Hussein's ship will get you faster to Allah. But all of the Imams are Misbahul Huda. Each and every one of them is a light, like the Prophet explains. Each and every one of them is a guide for the Shia. And he says that he's a Shafi', he's an interceder for the Shia as well. And he said, but on the other side, there's always two groups. The people who truly support the Imams, the true followers, and those people who are against them. The one who poisons Imam Hassan al-Askari. The one who keeps him on house arrest. He says, for those people, that he's going to be adab. So for one group of people, the Imam is going to be light and guidance. And for another group of people, he's going to be the cause of their chastisement and their punishment. And we always want to be, inshallah, with those people on the right, the Ashabi Yameen. And it's not an easy task. There's a hadith that talks about when Imam Mahdi, ajalallahu farajum, comes. When he comes, he says that the hadith says that there are people who claim that they are the followers and the relatives of the Imam. And he says that some of those people will fight against the Imam. It says that there are people who worship the sun and the moon, and they will join the ranks of the Imam. God forbid we be of those people who are, say we're on the right side and end up not being on the right side. Because when the truth is told, people will come to follow. Even as I mentioned in this hadith, some people who are not even people who were believing in Tawheed before Imam Mahdi. There's a lot of things to say about this Imam, even through his short life. He was well known by other people, because the best way to really get to know someone, if you want to know, you have to ask other people about them. Well, if you come and ask me about myself, I might tell you I'm a wonderful person. You want to ask someone about them, you ask other people about this type of person, what type of person. Well, like when someone wants to get married to a spouse, so you do consultation, you ask other people about this. The people who were enemies of Imam Hassan Askari had only positive things to say about him. You know that you have the character of a decent human being and a true mu'min and believer when you leave this world and people who dislike you have nothing bad that they can say. Even if they want to, there's nothing I can say bad about this person. They were always a good person. And he was known for being the best in his worship, the best in knowledge. This is a lesson for every single one of us. The Prophet says that a mu'min is someone who does everything to the best of their ability. That tawana'i, that ability, they do it as good as they can. They translate that into the best action. If they are reading, they read as well as they can. If they pray, they pray with the best of focus. When giving in charity, they give as much as they can. When helping others, they go out all out as much as they can to do what they can. I think people think, well, a believer is someone who just makes salat and does. He says, the Prophet said, they do everything to the best of their ability. If they're a student, then this is a believer is the best student. If they work at a job, whatever their profession is, they are the best at that. Because this is a sign of a mu'min. This is why we see our imams at each era in time, they were the best individual in piety, in character, in knowledge, in worship. There was no one better than them. About the worship of Imam Hassan Askari, there was a man who says that he prayed behind Imam Hassan Askari and his sajdas were known for being very long. He said his sajda would be so long that I would fall asleep, wake up, and we would still be in sajda. because of the focus that he had. You know, for a lot of us, prayer and salat is just a responsibility and an obligation, like paying a bill. Oh, I have to pay my cell phone bill. I have to make salat. Something that I have to do and get it over with. Ayatollah Behzad, he says something very interesting. It mentions in a book that talks about some of the karamat of Ayatollah Behzad. It says that he used to travel and go to this open field and he would pray there and with another person. I don't remember the other individual. But they would go and they would travel to this open field and just and they would pray in this open field, like out in the nature. And it says that he was quoted as having said that if the Salatin, if the kings and the rulers of this world, if they had any idea about the pleasures of Salat, they would not go chasing after anything else. So they have no idea. Well, sometimes we have no idea. He says, he's not talking about, and he said the pleasures in Salat. What do we know about the pleasures in Salat? This is why Imam Hassan's Askari's sajdas were so long. It wasn't just, I'm going through some motions because it's one of my wajibat. It was an enjoyable thing. But it takes understanding and a level that we have to reach so that we can enjoy that. That insight and knowledge about prayer to be able to reach this level of Imam Hassan Askari. Salawat. Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, his wife talks about, mentions about the way he used to pray, and says that once he went into sajda, and while he was in sajda, she thought that he had died because of how intense his sajda was. Or perhaps it could also have been the separation of the soul from the body. But he said that she touched him because she thought that he was actually dead when he was in sajda. Well, there's no doubt that we're alive when we're in sajda. Right. And thinking about many other things besides the things we should be thinking about. This is why in Adab al-Salat, if you read, very beautiful and interesting point that Imam Khomeini makes about prayer itself. We see this in all of our Imams. And like I mentioned, if we want to talk about their fadail, we can talk about it for years. We see this in all of our Imams. We know about Imam Ali, and they pull out the arrow when he's in Salat, because that's when he's at the peak of his concentration. But Imam Khomeini, talking about in prayer, he mentions that it's a state, or we should be in a state similar to the state of what they call in Irfan and in Islamic mysticism, they call it Fana. They usually translate it to mean annihilation. Kind of means that you're so engrossed and so focused on Allah is that you are almost non-existent yourself. It's fana. But he says it's a state similar to that. I remember we were discussing one time with some other students about the reason why do we give salams at the end of our prayer. Who do we give salams to? Because you know we say assalamu alaikum. Well, kum always refers as a pronoun to you all. But who exactly is this you all? So the question came up. So did some research to find out what is this talking about. Who is this you all? And Imam Khomeini talks about this as well. He says that when you start in prayer, You're supposed to disconnect from the material world, from the dunya. Right? Being alive, and like we mentioned, it's not this physical body. It's not what makes somebody alive. You can be a vegetable, your heart can be pumping, your blood flowing, it doesn't mean you're alive. He said, disconnecting from this material world. That means that when I say Allahu Akbar, I'm thinking that everything in this world, just like the verse, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ. Say that Allah is one, He's unique, He's samad. Samad doesn't just mean He's independent or He's needless. There are other things in existence that are needless, other parts, other parts of creations which don't need things perhaps. In some context we could say that. But with Allah, He's samad, meaning that not only is He needless, but everything needs Allah. So when I'm focusing on my prayer, everything in the world becomes nothing to me. Imam Khomeini says it becomes faqr mahs. It becomes nothingness. The prayer rug, the people, my home, my life, all of this becomes nothing. Because for one moment, I'm so focused on that everything that I have or that I want, everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that because we disconnected from the dunya, and we connected with Allah, and when we finish our prayers, it's like we left this world, and now we're coming back. We have to say assalamu alaikum. We have to greet all of creation. We have to greet the angels and all of Allah's creation. Subhanallah. So then this focus is what we see in Imam Hassan al-Askari. The pleasure of understanding the oneness of Allah. This is a lesson that we have yet to learn and implement fully to that level. This on the worship of the Imam. But what about his ilm and his knowledge? Mentions that there was a Christian doctor or physician who was quoted about lived during the time of the Imam, and said, he's not even Muslim, he says that this person, tells his student that this person, referring to Imam Hassan al-Askari, is the most knowledgeable person on the face of the earth during our time. So if this person who's not even Muslim can understand that, we can't understand that? This is the knowledge of the Imam. This is his knowledge not even being recognized. Yes, people might say, well, yes, if the Shia tell it, then of course they're going to exaggerate. This person is other people telling it. Understanding him from the other sources. This is how well known he was with his knowledge. He was also well known for his generosity. He was now known for being a very generous person. And actually, there was a person, his name is Muhammad ibn Ali, ibn Ibrahim, ibn Musa, ibn Ja'far al-Kadhim. He was a waqifi. One of those who stopped, waqif meaning literally to stop, and didn't continue with the rest, following the rest of the imams. They're not 12 or Shias. And he had heard about the generosity of the imam. Now they're obviously relatives, related in a sense. And so he decided that his situation was very difficult, his financial situation. And he decides that I'm going to go to Imam Hassan al-Askari because I've heard so many good things about him. So he travels with his son and they head towards the home of the Imam. Now as they're traveling, they're talking and they're saying to each other, you know, I wish that the Imam will give us some money, just the same way he's been so generous to other people. And the man says that, I hope the Imam gives me 500 dirhams and I can spend 200 on food and 200 to pay my debt and 100 for my other expenses. And the son says, yeah, I wish I that the Imam would give me 300 dirhams so that I can spend 100 on food and 100 for my expenses and 100 to buy something, to buy a horse, I believe. They get to the home of the Imam. And the Imam says, Salaamu Alaikum, he welcomes them with open arms. He said, why didn't you come to me sooner? He sits down, he hosts his guests for a period of time. And when they leave, he gives them 500 and 300 dirhams. They didn't say anything to him. Well, this is the knowledge of the Imam, of course. But he knew what they wanted. He gave them exactly what they were thinking about. The son says to the father, do we need any more proof that this is the true Imam? And of course, but unfortunately, the father says, I'm used to being a waqifi. This is what I'm used to. And like many of us, we do things, we're just used to doing it, not because it's right, but that's just the way we're doing things. He says, I'm used to being a waqifi, so, you know, yes, the Imam is a great person, but I'm going to continue to be a waqifi. But even though the Imam knew this, this didn't stop him from helping this person. This is generosity. Without any preconditions, without any prerequisites, he gives in charity. On another occasion, the Imam is walking and the man who knows that the Imam is passing by, he knows that the Imam is very generous. He stands up quickly, he jumps up, he says, oh, the Imam, my situation is so bad, I don't have this, that, I need. Then he begins to start to swear, oh, wallahi al-azim, wallahi. You know, we all have this bad habit of swearing about things that are not important. You know, Hazrat Abbas, I swear to Imam Radha, I swear to him, oh, don't do that. It's not a good custom. So he begins to swear, wallahi, and all these things that... And the Imam said to him, don't swear. You shouldn't swear, especially when you're not telling the truth. This man is shocked. How does the Imam know that I'm not really a poor person? And the Imam says, but because you requested from me, I'm going to give to you. He tells his servant who's with him, he says, give him 100 dirhams, or 100 dinars, you know. And he says, but there's going to come a time when that 200 dinars that you have hidden away in your treasure box somewhere, there's going to come a time when you need that, but you're not going to have it. So he says, how does the Imam know about my treasure box? And where I keep my hidden and how much it is? This is the knowledge of the Imam. And sure enough, when he goes back to check on his treasure box, to check on his stash of where he keeps his money, what happens? He finds that it's not there. He finds that his son had taken that 200 and he spent it already on something. So he traded his 200 for 100. But the Imam still, he had the knowledge of what this person wanted, but more importantly, his generosity did not change even in those conditions. Salawat, please. I want to mention in closing, Imam Hassan Askari taught us so many lessons about his knowledge, about his generosity, about his iman, his faith, and his way of worship. He also prepared us for the last and final imam, the hujjat for us, Imam Mahdi Ajalullah Khan. The Imams all were known for doing various karamat and various phenomenal acts to teach people so that people could know that they were truly the Imam. And this is no exception for the case of Imam Hassan al-Askari. But despite this, there still were many, some people who were easily become doubtful. And one example of this is a Christian priest who came during the time when there was a drought. And he led a prayer for rain. He raised his hands, he prayed, and it rained. So even though the khalifas of that time, the Bani Abbas khalifas, even though they were enemies of the Imam and against the Ahlul Bayt, they didn't want people to become Christian because that's what was happening. They saw this person do this miraculous or phenomenal act and they begin to have doubts about Islam. So then, now is the time that we want to call on our Imam. Let's call on Imam Hassan Askari because we need some help. So they call on the Imam to try to fix the situation. Even they know, his enemies, that he's the true Imam, that he has the most knowledge, and only he can rectify the situation. So he, Imam, orders this person to come again, that priest, and to pray for rain. And he comes, and he raises his hands, and Imam orders the people to grab his hands. When they grab his hands, they find that in his hand, he was hiding a bone. This bone was the bone of a prophet. It doesn't say which prophet, but of a prophet. And just like the things that people belong to our a'imma, anything that they touch even, some prophets where they walk, it says, for example, it will become green. They had so much barakah about them. So much that everything that they even had ever touched, their body itself had blessing. So having this bone in his hand enabled him to make this. And the Imam wanted to explain this and show this to the people. But he had knowledge and knew this truth. You know, even they say that when the Prophet used to pray and make wudu, they wouldn't let his water drip from him. Because that much blessing that it has, that someone wants to take that water and use it for their own wudu. So imagine the bone of this Prophet, his body, his flesh. And so then the Imam takes his bone and then he's not able to make this prayer. And so the Imam leads the prayer. And this changes the thinking of the people. That, oh, well, the Imam knows the truth and that he has haqq. And this they freed him from prison after this incident, actually. But there's the final lesson that I want to mention is in this. Because sometimes people, they become doubtful for reasons that they should not. And during our time, as we are awaiting the appearance of the Imam of our time, we have to ask ourselves, are we prepared to be true companions and servants of the Imam? And there's a story about a person named Harun Mekki. It's one of the companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And it says that a man came from Khorasan, from Iran, to Imam Sadiq. And this man comes to Imam Sadiq and he says, I'm ready to have a revolution. Let's revolt, let's stand up, let's fight, and let's have an inqilab. And the Imam told him, okay, come, sit down. He invites him to his home, he sits down. He tells this man, go into the tanur, go into the furnace. So this man says, you know, what is the Imam talking about? Is this how they treat their guest? I come to visit you, you tell me to jump into the hot furnace? And he doesn't go. Then comes in this companion of the Imam. And the Imam tells him, go into the tanur. Stops what he's doing. Goes exactly into the tanur. Right away, directly. Doesn't ask the Imam 20 questions. Doesn't say, do you want me to go now or do you want me to go tomorrow? Do you want me to sit like this or do you want me to sit like that? Are you sure you want me to go? Is it going to be hot? And he doesn't ask me. He listens to the imam. Doesn't have any doubts about what the imam is asking him. After he's in there for a while, and the imam begins to talk to this person again. So tell me about Khorasan. The man is like, the man is telling, tell me about what's going on here. The imam asks this man, he said, you said you have so many, 100,000 people, so many people ready to revolt, ready to have revolution. He says, how many people do you have like Harun Mekki? How many people do you have like this? He says, none. 100,000 people like me, none like that. These are the kind of companions that Imam Mahdi needs. These are the kind of companions that Imam Mahdi is waiting for. 313 people like that. Not people who are going to have doubts or be unsure. People are going to be firm in their faith and firm followers of the Imams. And the last thing that the son of Imam Hassan Askari that we need to prepare ourselves for is that the hadith that mentions that the best of actions, afdalul a'mal, what is it? Intidharul faraj. It's awaiting the faraj and the dhuhur of the imam. But pay attention. It doesn't mean sit back and waiting. It says afdalul a'mal, the best action. A'mal is the actions. It doesn't say the best thing to do is to recline and wait for the imam. Relax, waiting to something to happen. The imam is going to come and save the world. No, it's action. This means we have to be doing something. What is it something we have to be doing? We have to be becoming alive as defined by Shaykh Mutahhari. We have to be achieving this insight and turning it into knowledge. And we have to turn our ability into action. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the coming of the Imam of our time, Imam Mahdi. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the sins of those who have passed away, the amwat. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve our maraja and ulama. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all true companions of the Imam of our time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prepare us for the coming of the dhuhur. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to secure those who are ill and who are sick. Rahm Allahu man qara'a fata ma'a salawat. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أنت السلام ومنك السلام ولك السلام وعليك يعود السلام سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام